Aleluya. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to upset anyone today. I'm not being presumptuous. I know that. I mean this sincerely. I know there are people who may have come today to maybe for me to sing a little more than I have. And I appreciate that. And I thank you for being interested. But if you allow me today just to do what I feel, I want to honor your time. I could sing as long as my voice holds out. An amazing thing, if you buy all 10 of those CDs out there, I never get hoarse. But I love to sing. And I could just, I don't know. Maybe someday we can come back and maybe someday, I'm not scheduling myself. I'm just tried that. That don't work. But maybe we could come back sometime, and maybe even sometime when if you're desperate enough to have me back on a Sunday, maybe we could get together on a Saturday and have a singing, me and Brother Long and some folks sing. Would anybody come to that? Let's see how bad you're going to cost you $100 to get in the door. How many still want to come? I'm playing with you. I'm just throwing out. I just know I walk that tightrope every time I come to the pulpit, because I know some people, man, I don't want to hear you saying something. But we all want what the Lord wants. That's what we should want. So if you'll just let me now kind of flow into a little time of ministry before we leave. And during this time of ministry is when I will ask my wife to come and share some with you as well. But I'm going to read today from the third chapter of the book of Acts. The third chapter of the book of Acts. Is that okay, Brother McCoy? I'll sing more if you want me to. I'm not trying to chintz out on you. I've probably already two more songs than you would like, but Acts chapter 3. Now, just going to read a couple of verses. Now, Peter and John went up to, I'm going slow because Autumn can only take notes if it's slow. I've been waiting all 30 minutes to do that. Good sport. Now Peter and John went up together. Problem is, she won't hear nothing I say that she wants to write down. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered then with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You may be seated. Lord, we need you today. Help us in Jesus' name. It is 2:34. Well, I'm going to go by this. It's 2:32 on here. So that gives me two more minutes. Some of you are familiar, and so I don't want y'all to think I'm just glorifying it or talking about it so much. But out of my heart, I want to share with you something today. And some of y'all know that Cheryl and I, especially when it comes to her health, have walked through some challenging times in the last 12 to 13 years. I'm not trying to bore you with that. I'm trying to tell you that, first of all, I'm smart enough to know that you have your own set of issues. And I get that. I understand that. Okay, I got to be cautious here. Because I don't want to, we're going to get excited here in a minute. So I'm not trying to, for one second, temper. That's not as in anger, but to settle down any kind of excitement that stems from the last several days in being in service in St. Louis. I wouldn't do that. That's not the intent of this. But let me just say this and move on. Without sounding critical, because I've read the book, and some folks don't know this, but I've read it from front to back several times, and I never have discovered where criticism is one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's of some spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. So I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not taking pot shots from behind the podium today. But let me just make an observation, but tell you something that is a truth. It has become very, very popular, even in the religious world, to propagate the philosophy that if you serve Jesus, that you'll always be well, that you'll never have a trial, that you'll always be wealthy, that life will be like a cotton candy and candied apples for the rest of your life. And I'm just telling you, I'm not a depressed guy, but that's simply not found in this book. That doesn't mean I'm a gloom and doom guy. That's not, don't have one thing to do with it. There's nobody has more fun than I do. I've made up my mind I'm going to laugh till I draw my last breath. Because I've never stood by one person about to enter into eternity and them look at you and say, I wish I would have laughed less. I've seen people wish they wouldn't have worked as much, wish they'd spent more time with their kids, on and on down the list. But I've never seen anybody that regretted being too happy. So I'm not, don't put words in my mouth. I'm not unhappy. I'm not despondent. I'm not depressed. But I'm just telling you that life at its best, according to this book, is a few days and full of trouble. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be things that happen to you that you don't like and that you wish wouldn't have. Mama said there'd be days like this. Am I right, Brother Long? I mean, you're, what, 81 now? Yeah, my dad just turned 84 this week. My dad always tried to tell me. He said, son, don't you talk to me about when I was young and call them the good old days. He said, you're living in the good old days. He said, times were hard when I was a boy. All we meant by that is just maybe folks were a bit more neighborly back then. But times were tough. I asked my dad one time, I said, Dad, when you was young, did you have running water? He said, depending on if I was running or not. But I'm not going to stand up here and misrepresent. There was 1,000 people or more received the baptism of the Spirit this week in St. Louis. But I want to tell you something. They're going to find out that they ain't been raptured yet. Hello? Am I doing all right? I'm not trying to get you upset. I'm not trying to make you cry in your root beer. That's not what all this is about. But we must be reminded there are troubles. But we also need to be reminded we are in the world, but we are not of the world. It's a given that every day I live in a world full of trouble, but I don't have trouble in me. It's the water inside the boat that sinks the boat, not the water outside the boat. We live in a world of sickness and hurt and pain and trauma and trial. But we even in those trials, God's been good to me. I haven't come to preach any sad stories or tell any bad tales. I'm telling you, even in the middle of trial and sickness, He's been with us every step of the way. I can lean on Him. I can count on Him. He's a friend that sticketh closer. You need to know it's more than just for a 30-minute experience. But when you walk out, He's going to be with you. When your boss mistreats you, He's still going to be good. When you're sick in your body, He's still going to be faithful.
Are we all right?
And so, I'm just sharing with you. Sometimes we go through things so that we can empathize better and more adequately with others. But it's not so that we can gather together and tell our surgery stories, compare our scars, and talk about how pitiful life is. It's so that we can tell someone else that's going through the trial of their faith, He will never leave you. Just because you don't feel the goosebumps every day doesn't mean He's any less powerful than He was. I feel like preaching here just for a moment. Yes, I still remember that first night, 1974. When I received the Spirit for the first time, and many, many, many times since. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned a long time ago. Now, when I tease about it, I already teased you a little bit, told you a little bit about me dancing in the Spirit. I used to run all the time. Man, I'd run. I'd get up off the drums when I was a drummer. I'd get up and run the aisles. They can either stop the song or keep singing. If whatever you're doing is more important than you're worshiping, then hello. And I used to run a lot. I don't run much anymore. I never was real fast, but buddy, I was hard to stop once I got going. We had two rules at our church. One, you ran with your eyes open. And two, nobody runs alone. You remember that? We had a rule. Bible said rejoice with those that rejoice. Sad to watch somebody out dancing for the Lord all by themselves. Even drunks do better than that. They'll go dance with somebody they don't even know, probably shouldn't be with. Hello? But I'm going to tell you, so I'm not. Somebody say he's not. Are you kidding? He's not saying not to dance. I'm just saying what this book says, that we don't walk by feeling or by sight. We walk by faith. I got to hurry. But can I be, I'm just going to be transparent a little bit with you. John Michael, I'm a faith preacher. I preach faith. I live faith. Hello? But I ain't going to lie to you. Many times while I'm walking down the aisle, preaching to you and other people like you that God can heal you right now, the adversary is talking and shouting in my ear. Well, you may be preaching faith, but this is going on year number 13 when your wife is still sick. Difference in me and some, I'll just tell you that. So I was preaching the other night. I was preaching faith. I'm going to preach faith here today. Y'all think I believe the only folks can only get healed in St. Louis? Not on your life. I said not on your life. Wednesday night, first night of Youth Congress, I was preaching in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. All the youth was already gone to Youth Congress. It was just me and the old folks. There was a young, well, she had to work. She couldn't go. She was probably 30, 35. She come into church, had a big old tall walking stick. I later found out that for months she had been dragging her right leg, could not lift her right leg. Her shoes worn out, had no feeling in the bottom of her feet. Couldn't tell if she's touching the concrete or floor or not. Her shoes worn out, could not move her toes, could not bring her feet together, could not lift her knees. I'm telling you, the power of God swept in there during the altar call. And I'm telling you, they didn't just have miracles in St. Louis, but that girl got healed Wednesday night in Oklahoma. She started doing like this. She started lifting her legs. She walked out without the cane. I'm telling you, think I don't believe? Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Because I'm a faith preacher. And faith is believing God can do anything. But trust. I'll tell you this myself. You need to write this down. Faith is believing God can preach anything, heal anything, do anything. But trust is believing God to do the right thing for you, even when you don't understand it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying have this mentality, well, this just must be my lot in life. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that. Are you with me? I have faith. Since my back, I teased with y'all about that last year. God told me he knew what was wrong with me. I said, what? He said, it's your psychotic nerve. Maybe. Hello? It's not a lack of faith. I sit here to tell you, I'm not healed at this moment because of lack of faith. I've been prayed for so much I got olive oil built up on my head.
believe in it. But until he does it, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him every day. I may not understand. I may not understand why, but I know he cares and I know he loves me. It's not all just physical stuff. I don't know why sometimes we are mentally oppressed. I don't know why sometimes it seems people and the adversary is allowed to rage. But I trust God. I've trusted with my family. I trust him with my soul. I trust him with my finance. I trust him. While I was preaching recently, just out of my mouth came this phrase, this sentence. I preach faith, but I live trust. I said, I preach faith, but I live trust. Cheryl, would you come and be ready to witness here in just a moment? We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee recently, preaching for Brother Terry Arnold and his wife, Penny. Just sit right there. And we were staying in their guest house. Called Mercy House. And now when I tell you a few things, I'm not crying, poor, poor, pitiful me. Are you hearing me? My wife was ready to go to bed at night. Greg, my wife went to the couch. And other than just one or two nights in places where we didn't have a couch, she has slept on the couch for the last year and a half because too painful to sleep in a bed. So I went to the bedroom and I laid in the bed. We couldn't both fit on the couch. I began to pray. I wasn't whining. I wasn't blaming God. I do sometimes ask questions. That's not sin. But as a man, not as a preacher, but as a man, it hurts to see your wife hurt. And like you said earlier, if I could have fixed it, I already would. So I lay in that bed, and I'm not a songwriter per se. I've written a few. Nobody's standing in line to record them. And this may not be a song, may have just been a little short poem, but the words began to flow. Nobody has a pencil anymore, but I had a phone. I started jotting down the words. Are you with me? And as tears flowed, I was talking to the Lord. And really, this is what the words that he gave. And I said this. I know that I am supposed to be strong. But I admit, Lord, sometimes I wonder how long. How long this trial will challenge my faith? How long will I have to patiently wait? I know that the answer will be here on time. This mountain, though high, will be worth the climb. So I just keep waiting for help if I must. I'm living by faith, but I'm walking by trust. Ladies and gentlemen,
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I'm not talking about just physical stuff. I'm talking about it with your kids. I'm talking about with your church, with your career, with your finances. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest. And that's when the Lord, John Michael, spoke to me. He said, the reason you're running on fumes is because you haven't discovered how to rest on my promises. So I'm telling you, every service I attend, not just church, but every day, I expect it to be the day that God heals her. Every day. Every day. But I remember talking to a saint of God one time that had cancer. Cancer didn't have them. Hello? And they looked me in the eye, Pastor, and they said, hey, I believe from day one that God's going to heal me of this. But if he doesn't, what's wrong with dying in the faith? I'm just telling you, there's a place you can get where you can completely trust him. Talk to us just a moment and then I'll finish up.
I love Harvest. I'm so thankful to get to be here. God's been so good. And my favorite book is the book of Esther. She was so brave. I don't even think sometimes she wanted to be brave. But when it came right down to it, she was so brave. You know, she had no promise that the king was going to extend his scepter to her. She had no promise that she was going to walk out of there alive. But she had to do something for her people. That was her people. That was her family. And, you know, if I perish, I perish. And I was reading the book of Esther the other day, and something hit me like a ton of bricks. It was talking about when Haman had gone to the king, and he had devised his plan, and the king was like, I don't know what he was doing. He was just goofy, I guess. But he just said, okay, you know, I don't know if he realized they paid their taxes or what. But so Haman had devised his plan, and they had sent the decree out through all the land of Shushan. And the very end of chapter 3 says, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. And I thought, well, that's pretty goofy. Do you not know who your Jehovah is? But then I thought, you know what? A lot of those people were probably born in captivity. A lot of them probably had really no idea of Jehovah's power. And then I thought about myself. I am born again. I am a child of the King. I do know who my healer is. I do know who my provider is. Yet, at the end of the day, while the devil's eating and drinking, I'm perplexed. And I thought, God, I am so sorry. I know there's times everybody has lapses of faith. I know it, and I feel like I fail more than anyone in the world. But I got to relay just this one little thing that happened. I don't know about other diseases, but I'm pretty much a pro on autoimmune issues. And if you have an autoimmune issue or issues, every day you wake up to a new surprise. You know, sometimes your surprise might be, whoa, I feel like getting out of bed. That's pretty cool. Sometimes your surprise might be you wake up pneumonia or whatever. You know, just every day is a new surprise. And Friday, we were in Branson. We took a couple days off, and we were in Branson and got up, felt really good, went out and ate lunch with some friends, met some friends, and about an hour after we left, I started hurting really bad in my abdomen. And I'm like, well, this is crazy. I never hurt there. So I let it kind of go on, and about 30 minutes later, I was hurting so bad I was about to cry. And I said, baby, I do not know what's going on, but I am hurting so bad. I said, you got to pray. So right there in the middle of the parking lot, my husband grabbed my hand. I put my hand on my abdomen. We started praying. I had to go into Walmart to eat a couple things. While I was gone, he called the friends that we just ate with and asked them, please start praying. And came out of Walmart, took a little bit of medicine, and before the medicine could kick in, God had completely taken that pain away. Hallelujah. And I'm like, God, I am so sorry. I was perplexed. Because you know what, folks? He really can do it. And the song he sang, sometimes it takes a mountain. It really does. Would I be the person I am today without my issues? I know God's going to heal me. It might take 12 more years. It might take 12 seconds. But anybody here that's got something going on, don't be perplexed. Don't let the devil get the upper hand and see you being all worn out and worn down. Believe him and trust him. So wonderful to be here with you folks. God bless you.
I love you, baby. Thank you, Madison. So listen, let's finish up here. I hadn't forgot what I read to you. You can be seated. Think this altar will hold me. Been a long time since I put my all on the altar anyway. It's growing in here. So here comes this guy from his mother's womb. He's been lame. They carry him every day. I'd like to have time to preach a little on that, but I don't. Sometimes we forget to give honor to the ones that carried him. Sometimes people, they'll be all right sooner or later. We might need to carry them a while. Hello? And so, every day, to the gate called Beautiful, in modern day language, that was his intersection. That was the intersection he was at every day with his sign. Hello? And in those days, he said, alms. That means money. Change. Alms. Sometimes I have to just laugh a little bit to keep myself awake during my preaching. I remember Brother Huntley one time preaching on that verse. And he said, the guy's sitting there saying, alms, alms. He said, man, you don't need alms, you need legs. Worked for Brother Huntley. So here he sits, same spot, every day. I'm not preaching anything revelatory to you. Just listen to me for the last few minutes. Just hoping for a bit of change. And what I'm telling you, and I spent a long time telling you, keep trusting God. Don't give up on God. Don't get angry at God. But also, don't just settle for the fact that you're going to sit at that intersection the rest of your life and be happy for just a little change when the God we serve is able to change you. Hello, somebody. It may have worked for 38 years, but on this day, God wanted to change something totally about him. And it may have been for 12 years, but it could be today that God's going to change a situation. It could be years that your family has been away from God, but in a moment of time, God can change it. So here he sits, just hoping for a little change. Here comes Peter and John. And he looked up at them expecting to receive something. Oh, blessed is he that expected nothing. For chances are, he shall not be disappointed. Hello? I've come to church a lot of times expecting to hear a few songs and a sermon, but at least I was expecting something. Hello? There's something to be said about a spirit of expectation. I know I'm tired. You're tired. All God's children tired.
One reason why it happens is because they expect it for 2 years.
They expect to have a move of God. They expect to see miracles. They expect the power of God to come. I would to God we could come in on a regular, if there is such a thing, Sunday service with expectation that God is going to do something. Don't just come sit down at your same old intersection that's got your imprint on it and expect a little change. God wants to change us. Okay, I'm almost done. Thank you for listening. Now you're wishing you had preached, aren't you? So here sits this guy. Silver and gold have I none. Woo! But such as I have. And when you read in, I read in your hearing, and the man was instantly healed. But I'll leave you a little story. I may have used the story here before. I can't remember. I'm old. But it took me back, Brother Long. Madison, will you give me, you and your friend there, give me just a little music? Are you awake there, Bo? All right. Paging Sean. My God. They ought to give them medals. But listen to me. Back when I was a young man, here's what I felt to leave you today. I worked at a little radio station for 4 years right out of high school. It was a little bitty station. Wasn't a megawatt thing. And some of y'all won't relate. I know it's a little 3:05. I'm almost done. I'd go in early in the morning. That wasn't a will of God. Not a computer one in those days. It's amazing how far technology's come. And I'd go in that radio station and in a little closet. We had what was called, y'all won't know what this is, a teletype machine. Anybody know what a teletype machine was? It was connected to the United Press International or Associated Press. That's where we got our news from. And it would sit there all night long to type stories from all over the world. Well, since our station wasn't on the air all night, I'd have to get there early in the morning, and a paper would be like this high. And I'd have to speed read kind of through that paper, determining what the listeners in Kennett, Missouri, anything that would interest them. And they didn't care what happened in Bangkok. They wanted to know if it's going to rain. Hello? And so I have to weed through all those stories and make sure that I got the latest forecast. Because that was farming country. They had been watching the weather for days. My dad, he ain't got a farm one. He's 84. He's got four apps on his phone where he can check the weather on every one of them to see if they are off by 1 degree. It's the truth. So I'd get that forecast. It come from the National Weather Service in Kansas City. I'd go in there, it's time to sign on. They'd play the national anthem. It was all on tape. We didn't really have a band. And then I'd read the sign-on thing, and the very first thing we were required to do by our boss was you give the weather. And you give it 4, 5, 6 times an hour because they want to know. That little old station that I worked at, the control room, hang with me now. It had a little room, a little window. That window was, I'd say, approximately 2 feet by 3 feet. That was my only connection to the outside world. And so I'd flip that mic open. And it says, time now for the weather. And before I would go into what the National Weather Service said, it was always customary. Going to tell them later what's going to be this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and the extended forecast. But your first thing was always, currently on the North Bypass in Kennett, Missouri, it's 63 degrees and cloudy. I'd go and read the forecast, start the first song or commercial, whatever. Invariably, it happened almost every time. One of our 12 listeners would call in. And Kennett's not a big town. I'm sorry I'm boring y'all today. But there was a lady, I'm not making this up, you can't make this up. Her name was Fanny. And she had a real high-pitched voice. And she'd call me and she thought that, you know, she said, Stan, it might be cloudy on the North Bypass, but it's raining cats and dogs down here where I live. I'd say, Miss Fanny, I can't see where you live. I can only see what it's currently doing out that window. And I'm telling you in closing today, so many times, we get discouraged. We stall out in our walk with God. We lose faith because all we see is what we're currently dealing with. The bills keep stacking up. Doctor visit after doctor visit. About the time I think my teenager can't do anything more crazy, they do. Hello? And you just keep looking out your window at the same old day, same old problems, same intersection every day. You know, never one time did the National Weather Service lead off their forecast by saying, currently in Kennett, Missouri, it's, you know why? Because we didn't need them to tell me what it's doing. I can see. I don't mean to be ugly because I know God uses people in the gifts and He's used me, so don't think I'm being critical. But but you really don't need me to come tell you what you're currently dealing with. My God, you stare at it every day. It seems the view will never change. That's all you see. 12 years, that's all I see. They keep making new names, but it's the same old common denominator. Tired of looking at it. Get sick of looking at it. It's then somebody needs to open the microphone. Turn on the switch. Somebody needs to tell you. That's what I'm here for. Somebody needs to tell you. Yeah, it's been raining for a week. And you can expect rain to continue for the next 36 to 48 hours. But I'll never forget, Brother Long. One time I was sitting there and I read something. This was years ago, and I've never forgotten it. And I use it in my message right now at the close. But I didn't understand all the terms. I wasn't a meteorologist, but I remember it saying, there's a cold front doing this, and the barometric pressure's doing this, and they're going to collide and do this. And the bottom line is, I've heard it say, it's been rainy for days, but conditions are favorable for change. And I just now get to where I need to preach, but we got to stand and be done. But I'm telling you on this Sunday morning, you may see stormy stuff outside your window, but you're in a place, you're at a house where there are conditions very favorable for change in your life. It will not rain always. You will not be sick always. I wish somebody have a little faith with me right now. I couldn't see that out my window. They got that from a satellite in the sky. And I'm telling you, from heaven's point of view, God sees things differently than we see them. He sees it from up above, and he sees a change coming. You may have been there 38 years, but change is coming. So, simply said, thank you for being patient. I can't tell you. I honestly can't tell you if this is the day for you or not. How's that for honesty? All I know is I've tried to carry you through the Word to the place. I pray that you're expecting something. I'm looking for some expectancy in this house right now. Oh, I ain't doing very well. It's a little low right now. Is there anybody here expecting God to make a change on your job this week? Y'all think I'm messing with you. I ain't messing with you. It seems like it's interminable. It seems like it's never going to end. But I'm telling you, you've just been staring out that window long enough. You think it's just your lot in life. But it's not your lot in life. Change is coming. Change is on the way. God's conditions are favorable. What conditions? The name of Jesus is in this house. The blood of Jesus is in this house. The power of Jesus is in this house. Anybody willing to join this gentleman? Come to the front if you need some change. Expect God to do something in your life right now. Come with your hands raised. Come believing that this could be the hour. Come believing that this could be the moment. Come believing that this could be the day.
I need something.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know I've preached a long time. I know you guys are worn slap out. But just for a few minutes.